The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to think and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and happy Valentine's Day. It is Monday, February 14th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you live from Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon. And normally at this time, I would be introducing our own Ganja John, the pirate, the maestro, the man pushing the buttons and twisting the knobs. Unfortunately, he's not here today.
The following program, is intended for responsible adults only.
This is getting ridiculous. I'm going to do something to fix this thing. Hold on a second. There we go. Sorry about that, folks. Didn't mean to have the double play there. Having some trouble with the intro. Again, because Ganja John's not here today, so I've got to try to run everything all at once. And try as I might, I am just not perfect. But we do have a line on Ganja John because, as you know, he has the false glass eye, and we have outfitted it with a special camera and microphone so we can always tell what Ganja John is up to. Now, I'm looking at the feed right now, and unfortunately, we're not getting any camera feed from Ganja John. It seems to be that it's blocked out, like it's covered or something. Let's see if we can go to the audio here and see what's happening with Ganja John.
Bring out the gimp.
Uh-oh.
The gimp's sleeping. Well, I guess you just have to go wake him up now, won't you?
Oh, no, that's terrible. I'm afraid Ganja John might be a little busy. We won't be able to get to him. And I just looked over to my Skype connection, and it dropped Cannabis Carry as well. So we are definitely having a day-to-day at Normal Show Live. We'll keep the recording going here for those of you listening on the podcast. On today's show, all sorts of great stuff coming up. It's Roots Monday, so on our Daily Toker Tunes, Cannabis Carry is going to bring us some music from The Singleman Affair with the music called Same Sky I See. And then at half past the hour, we're going to talk with Justin Rivera from the Medical Cannabis Bilingual Show, a little bit in English and in Espanol, to talk to folks out there in the Latino community about getting involved in marijuana law reform. And then at the end of the show, a radical rant. I'm going to take a look at the burgeoning Oregon dispensary scene and how it's pushing the limits of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Stick around. We'll be right back after these messages. Check us out at our blog at stash.normal.org.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
High in the Rockies, for the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own canna business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, Medical Cannabis Cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
The Montana medical marijuana law is under fire as the Montana House of Representatives has voted to repeal the law altogether in a 63-37 vote last week. Both the House and the Senate are controlled by Republicans, and the Senate is expected to follow suit and vote to repeal Montana's medical marijuana law. If they do, advocates aren't too sure what to expect from the Democratic Governor Brian Schweitzer. The sponsor of the repeal bill, House Speaker Mike Milburn, said that he has thought that the arguments for a medical marijuana law in Montana was a pretext for encouraging recreation use and creating a path for full legalization. He told the chamber that they had, in fact, been duped. Before the vote, Milburn told the chamber that he feared gang drug wars in Montana cities and debilitation of its youth was the reason to repeal the law. He said that the bill says to shut down everything, that it had gone way too far. Milburn said that most of the people that had been approved for medical marijuana, quote, aren't the terminally ill, unquote. Republican State Representative David Howard echoed Milburn's claims, saying that Montana was conned when sold the medical marijuana bill and that the medical marijuana industry is taking over with the money it's making, and it could field a candidate for governor and attorney general. Now that the bill has passed the House, the state Senate will consider the measure this week and vote as early as Friday on the repeal bill. Now, if passed there, it will be headed for the governor's desk for his signature. Governor Schweitzer has voiced his support for the state's medical marijuana law, but has said that the bill needs to be tightened. Even though opponents of Montana's medical marijuana law have cited rising rates of teen drug use and rising traffic fatalities, the state statistics do not support either claim. Montana has had their medical marijuana law on the books since 2006, when 62% of the voters passed the measure. If repealed, they would be the first state of the 15 states that recognize medical marijuana as a valid treatment option to do so.
Yeah, it wouldn't be just the first state to repeal amongst the 15 medical marijuana states. It would be the first state in the 40-year history of the war on drugs that has ever made a positive marijuana law reform going back on that reform. I'm talking about all 12 of the medical decriminalization states that passed it through their legislatures or through initiative. We don't count Alaska because that was passed through a Supreme Court decision. But the 12 states that passed decriminalization, the 15 states that have passed medical marijuana, never have any of them gone back on that reform. Montana would be the first. And if you want to know what the cause of this is, I mean, they're putting out all sorts of stuff about, you know, there's too much wrecks on the road, or the kids aren't going to graduate high school, whatever. I've shown all these statistics to be false, and you can check it up. Just look up Montana up at the Stash at stash.normal.org. What this really has to do with is one medical marijuana activist going beyond the bounds of the law, rubbing this law in the lawmaker's face, taking every loophole and every extreme measure he can to try to make a buck. And this is a guy named Jason Christ of the Montana's Caregivers Network. We did a story earlier this year where he had 729 pre-signed medical marijuana recommendations found after a warrant and a search of the Montana Caregivers Network. We have a story from the Billings Gazette where he was known for in-your-face tactics, including smoking a bowl on the Capitol lawn. Other confrontations include website hijacking, a lease dispute, a reported bomb threat, stalking, and death threats. Twice during his divorce, his wife sought restraining orders. We have a story from the Missoulian where Jason Christ was accused of felony intimidation in connection with an alleged bomb threat at a Verizon store, where he told the people at the store that he was going to come in there and kick the blank out of your store and break things and knock over computers and knock over stands. F you, you piece of F. That's Jason Christ, the medical marijuana activist in Montana. This is the guy who was also running the internet-based Skype examinations of people, giving them their medical marijuana cards after a Skype examination. And after an in-depth story from the Billings Gazette, where a reporter goes in and takes 8 minutes to get his medical marijuana recommendation, Jason Christ says it took too long. It's not really necessary, he says, to have a doctor to do an in-depth evaluation. And he further on says, I do not comprehend how a single person still has ruined it for everyone. Well, Jason Christ, you have ruined it for everyone. You may be the man who has single-handedly made marijuana look so bad to people in Montana who passed this law. 62% of the people passed this law, and you, one guy trying to make a buck, one guy skirting the law, could be ruining this all for everyone.
In a report from the New York Times, the number one reason to get arrested in New York City is for marijuana possession. The Drug Policy Alliance points out that, in fact, more people were arrested last year in New York City on charges of marijuana possession than during the entire 19-year period from 1978 to 1996. Last year, 2010, marked the sixth year in a row that marijuana possession arrests increased. 50,383 people were arrested in 2010 in the city for possession, according to the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services. That adds up to an average of about 140 arrests a day, the leading reason to be arrested in the Big Apple. The arrest rate for marijuana possession is up 69% since 2005. Harry Levine, a sociology professor at Queens College and an expert on marijuana enforcement, says that the increase isn't due to increased consumption, but to harsher enforcement policies. Since Mayor Michael Bloomberg took office in 2002, there have been over 350,000 arrests for marijuana possession. 70% of those arrested are under 30, and a whopping 86% of those arrested are Black or Latino. Now, whites make up 73.4% of New York City's population and are statistically shown to use marijuana at higher rates. Possession of less than 25 grams of marijuana was decriminalized in New York City back in 1977, one of the first major cities to do so. But having marijuana open to public view is still a crime. So that when a police officer asks you to empty your pocket and marijuana was in your pocket, you will be charged with having it in the open. A charge by some advocates that the New York Police Department has been quietly making marijuana arrests their top priority without public acknowledgement or debate.
Yeah, this is a decriminalization state, folks. And again, the trick, like Kerry said, is if you're carrying the weed in your pocket, the cop will say, you'll pat you down and say, oh, it seems like you got a bag of weed in there. If you'll take that out, we'll go easy on you. You take the weed out, now you've committed a misdemeanor and they've got you arrested. Over 50,000 arrests in New York City, and Kerry also demonstrated the racial imbalance in those figures when 3 out of 4 people living in New York City are white, whereas, 83% of them arrested are Black or Latino. And the reason behind this, of course, is the racial profiling and the racist nature of enforcement in Manhattan. I did a story, I think it was last year, where they talked about the weed being smoked in New York City. The young lady walking down Soho doesn't worry about it. She's smoking a joint openly on the street and it's no big deal. But you take her a few blocks uptown, you take her up to Harlem, you take them up to Spanish Harlem, you take them up to any of those areas that are more minority dominated, you walk down the street smoking a joint and you're going to end up in lockup. And they've also found that the people that end up in lockup there in the jail can't make bail most of the time, so they end up stuck there for 2 weeks sometimes before they can even get an arraignment. This is just another way of using the war on drugs to get more information on people without a legitimate cause or probable cause to be stopping and searching them.
Former Washington Nationals baseball outfielder Elijah Dukes has claimed that he was pressured into smoking marijuana by his former teammates. Dukes says that marijuana use is rampant among his former teammates, including smoking sessions before the games. He says that speaking out has gotten blackballed from Major League Baseball. Dukes is reporting that he started smoking marijuana with players he looked up to out of peer pressure. According to Dukes, he shared this information with Dr. Lawrence Westreich, a counselor that the league assigned to him as part of an employee assistance program. He says that shortly after confessing to the doctor, the Nationals released him. The ball club says that he was released for other reasons, but Duke is saying that his revelation has got him unofficially banned from the game. Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball's senior vice president, has said that Dukes is not telling the truth and that Dr. Westreich did not communicate any information from his conversations with Dukes to the Nationals or any other ball club. Manfred said there is no evidence that Dukes has ever told any league official about drug use on his team, and that if he had, the information would have been taken seriously. Now, Dukes has a history of suspensions for various reasons during his 5 seasons in the league. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, look, when you are, well, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, the old peer pressure excuse, I could maybe accept that. When you are a grown freaking man in Major League Baseball, I don't buy that, oh, I better smoke a joint. I wouldn't want the cool kids to think I'm not cool. Come on, Elijah, give me a break. You're just trying to get out of getting caught for whatever it is you got caught for and kicked out of Major League Baseball. But again, it shows the idiocy of trying to ban anyone for that matter, but these professional athletes from using a safe, effective relaxant like cannabis, right? If they went out to the clubs and got drunk, this wouldn't even be a story, but smoking a little weed, that's a problem. I mean, Doc Ellis pitched a no-hitter on LSD. I think we can allow the rest of the Major League Baseball players to maybe relax a little with a joint.
And there were two rulings in Michigan that crossed our radar here on The Stash last Friday. First up, the case of Walmart employee with an inoperable brain tumor who was fired for his medical use of marijuana. Joseph Casillas was fired after he tested positive for marijuana associated with a workers' compensation claim. Casillas was using medical marijuana as allowed by the state to control the symptoms of his tumor. He was joined by the ACLU in his suit against the retail giant. His case was based on his right to work with a valid Michigan medical marijuana card. The federal judge in the case, Robert Jonker, ruled on the side of Walmart. He decided that Michigan's medical marijuana law states nothing about the private employment rights, but only provides a potential defense to criminal prosecution. Judge Jonker ruled that the law does not protect workers from disciplinary action for using medical marijuana, nor do private employers need to accommodate the use of medical marijuana outside of the workplace. Casillas says that he will try to appeal the decision. And then also on Friday, the Michigan Court of Appeals ruled that Benjamin Curtis Wahlberg, a 24-year-old that is also a Michigan medical marijuana patient, could still be charged with a felony for possessing 25 marijuana plants. In 2009, Wahlberg was visited by police acting on a tip that he was growing marijuana. The police and prosecutors in the case charged him with criminal manufacturing of marijuana, a charge that could put him behind bars for up to 7 years. Wahlberg cited an affirmative defense and then provided a valid recommendation for marijuana back in November. And in November, County Circuit Court Judge Edward Post dismissed the case against him. But the state prosecutors in the case appealed that decision, and on Friday, the appellate court agreed with the prosecution that Wahlberg, even if legally qualified under the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, had violated the number of plants that he could legally possess. The act allows for 12 plants and Wahlberg had 25. His attorneys had argued that the 12 plant limit was something that the Michigan Department of Community Health had set and that the law defined the number of plants as, quote, reasonably necessary. In their ruling, the appellate court said that, quote, unfortunately, the legislator neglected to define the term reasonably necessary within the statute, leaving it open to interpretation based on the individual circumstances of each case. So two cases lost on Friday.
Yeah, what a shame. This Casillas case in Michigan is equivalent to the Raging Wire case in California, equivalent to the Washburn case in Oregon. And it basically comes down to when we wrote these medical marijuana laws, we wrote this little clause in them that says employers do not have to accommodate the medical use of marijuana in the workplace. And we all thought that meant, oh, we're just telling employers that don't worry, we're not going to be medicating in the break room. We're not going to be firing up the vaporizer in the break room or smoking reefers out in the smoking area. That's what we thought it meant. But what they thought it meant is, oh, don't have to accommodate marijuana medical marijuana in the workplace means if you fail a pee test because you use medical marijuana, we can fire you. We don't have to accommodate that. Unfortunately, it's taken 14 states with these laws before a state finally came around to protecting the employment rights of patients. That's Arizona, which does protect employment rights of patients so long as it's not a federal issue. If it's a state or local issue, you can't be discriminated against. It's something to look to in all the other states that are trying to pass medical marijuana. Be sure that you are explicit about definitions of things like what are reasonable numbers of plants and whether or not people can have the right to work, the right to organ transplants, the right to housing, the right to drive, the right to their child custody. These are important rights we all have to protect for medical marijuana patients until we can finally get around to doing the sensible thing and legalizing it for the healthy people too. Woo, we're having a technical show today. All fun here in the studio until the internet drops during the show. Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you here. We're back with Roots Monday after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
This is Normal Show Live.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, it's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club,
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the president, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. Young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning. It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by Cannabis Carry in Astoria, Oregon, and CannabisFantastic.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
Well, we're back after a little bit of a break, and we come to you on Valentine's Day with some Roots Monday Toker Tunes. Happy Valentine's Day, Carrie.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day, Russ, and to all the Stashers. I love Valentine's Day.
Oh, I'm glad you do. some people
Everything's
don't.
All pink and red, yeah. I like those colors.
Well, good. Well, what do we got for our music for today, Carrie?
Well, today the song is right up my alley. The Singleman Affair is the name of the group. It was actually the beginnings of a one-man band of Dan Schneider. Schneider uses the sounds of his home recordings to make extraordinary songs with different recording techniques. He uses old reverb units and spacious room mics to give an expansive feel to his music, and the result is the rich 70s to 60s sounding music that is both comfortable and nostalgic. He sounds like the musicians he emulates, Tim Buckley, Cat Stevens, Nick Drake, or his hero, Canadian musician Skip Spence, who played on the debut album for Jefferson Airplane and played guitar for Quicksilver Messenger Service, and he was also the frontman for psychedelic band Moby Grape, for those of you who don't know Skip Spence. For a guy who grew up in the 1980s and 90s, he was raised listening to the Velvet Underground, Bob Dylan, and Neil Young. Now even the name of his one-man band is from that era, from the 1968 classic The Graduate. Schneider happily says that the Singleman Affair is no longer one-man band with the pursuit of living room sound. He's getting ready to tour with a full band. He spent the last 4 years trying to get a record label interested in his music, but didn't get any bites, so he decided to start his own label and release his own music on his new label called Cardboard Sangria. His music is rich with finger-picked acoustic guitars, the perfect music for a rainy afternoon or a hazy car ride in the country, and today's Toker tune is perfect for Valentine's Day, full of love gained, love lost, and the rich, complex relationships that we forge with each other. Today's song is called Same Sky I See, and it's from his new album, Silhouettes at Dawn.
Walking tall with a flower smile, trying to get down the SOA. Don't go too far, go too far. Gonna find a way to make them cry. Got no reason not to drop your smile. Custom man's trying to get you high. Don't get too, get too high. Gonna find a way to fly on by. Find a place where the water sun will fall. Wonder, babe, if it's the same sky I see. Scorpions down in the Spanish sun, make love just like anyone, like anyone. Doesn't have to be another lonely time to see. Love is poison, our love is cruel. Love can make this man a fool, but I give it to you. See what you do. Never gonna waste another song on you.
You want to copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
All right, guys, here we go. We've got the top six answers on the board. Name something that gets passed around. Chris.
A joint.
A joint.
This is Normal Show Live, where a joint is always the right answer.
Now, Chris, I don't know what 100 people you thought we were talking to at some nice little mall across good old America. But I'm pretty sure the people didn't tell the survey people, hey, an illegal drug. Let's turn around and see how many weed heads are out there with Chris. A joint!
...76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
NORML, unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the marijuana smokers' lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local NORML chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition.
In
this segment, we call grassroots activism.
Well, that doesn't sound right at all. I don't know what's going on with our Skype connection. We're trying to reach Justin Rivera from the medical cannabis, the bilingual medical cannabis show. So I'm going to try to redial that number. And when we get him back on the air, we will be back with you here. Hold on, please. All right, we'll try again here. Let's see. Justin Rivera, do we have you there on the line? Hello, Justin? All right, having some technical difficulties here at Normal Show Live. We will go back to the music and see if we can reconnect here to our bilingual medical cannabis show. Stick around. This is Normal Show Live.
I can't.
Bentleys, Bentley, chopped and lowered. Check out the seam drive, it's slower. Bitches in the back, pick out the seeds. Even the robot has his needs. This machine don't run on gas. This machine's getting high on.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Sorry about the technical difficulties we're having here. Ganja John's not in the studio today, so we're having a little trouble getting things worked out. But give me a moment here. I think we've got our guest. Justin Rivera from the Medical Cannabis Bilingual Show. Are you there?
Yes. Hey, how are you doing, Russ?
Oh, doing good. Sorry about all the difficulty getting you online here. We're really excited about this interview because we've been trying to reach out more to Latinos in the community out there. So we're going to try this interview bilingually. We'll do some English questions and repeat them in Spanish and get the answers in English and Spanish, if that's all right with you, Justin.
No, that's perfect.
All right.
That's the one I
need. Okay, bienvenidos a la Normal Show Live, and please forgive my terrible Spanish. Por favor, perdone mi español terrible. Tell us about the Medical Cannabis Bilingual Show. Cuéntanos sobre el cannabis médica bilingüe mostrar.
Bueno, el programa es sobre el uso medicinal del cannabis y cómo uno como paciente qué puede hacer para ayudar a la comunidad y a los dispensarios para que puedan seguir proveyendo la medicina a los pacientes.
In English, por favor.
And basically, what we are—it's a bilingual show, and we are focused on educating patients and people about medical cannabis. It's how to use it and its benefits, medical benefits. We're also trying to reach out to the Latin community and get their support for, you know, these to stop the ban on all these ordinances that are going on over here.
Bien. How did you learn about medical marijuana? ¿Cómo se enteró acerca de la marihuana médica?
¿Cómo me enteré sobre el medical cannabis?
Sí.
¿Hola?
Sí, yeah. How did you learn about medical marijuana?
Oh, I learned through, you know, trial and error, like a lot of people, you know. I started off as a patient myself. I suffered from back pains and from a muscle spasms from a car accident that I suffered years ago. And, you know, as a patient myself, I was, you know, I went through everything one has to go through to become a patient. And, you know, it was, you know, some barriers were up against me and we overcame that. And now we're, you know, everything we're learning and we're doing is through the help of the rest of the community.
Excellent. Now, interesting fact here. Latinos use marijuana less than all other groups in America but Asians. So why should they support ending marijuana prohibition? Latinos uso de la marijuana menos de todos.
What are those statistics based on?
Oh,
most of everybody I know smokes is Latino.
Well, according to the Monitoring the Future survey, the federal government does this survey every year, and they show that of all the people who have ever smoked pot in their lifetime, that 49% are white, 44% are black or African American, something like 29% are Latino. So Latinos uso de la marihuana menos de todos los demás grupos, pero los asiáticos, ¿por qué apoyan terminar la prohibición de la marihuana? Why should they support ending prohibition?
You are approaching the maximum allowed time for recording a message. If you wish to record further, please choose the append option from the menu. To send this message now, press pound. To replay your message,
I do not know why we're getting that
additional
play
options,
there. Sorry about this.
Nine.
I was just wondering why would you direct Latinos to get involved in ending marijuana prohibition?
This message now, press pound. To replay.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, this just isn't going to work. We're going to go back to music and we'll be back with a radical rant after this.
I think God smokes weed and he was high when he made me. I can feel it in my DNA. I think God smokes weed and he was high when he made me. And I think he gave up. Understand God
eyes of the man he planned. In the face of defeat, he smoked a helping hand and said, I'll just put him in a reggae band. Feel in the beat when I'm on the stand. Feel it in my feet when I'm on the sand. I see it in the sunsets that might expand into your mind so you understand.
I think God smokes me and he was high.
Consistently, except for the one time he dropped that seed. I hear the gods in you and me and all we see, assuming all the actions of my own body. If that's the way it is, then you must agree. Every time we rock the gun, so does he.
I think God's so sweet, and he was high.
Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization and regulation and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is a entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. At Normal, we've been prepping for this debate for 40 years.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, and apologies for the snafu there with our last interview, and my most sincere apologies to Justin Rivera from the Medical Cannabis show, the bilingual show. We will have you back, Justin, when our engineer John is here in the studio, and we can have all the knobs being twisted. I have discovered that running the show, running the Skype, running the radio, running the computer, running the graphics, running the recording, and trying to speak in Spanish is just too much for me to handle. So we'll do that again. So sorry, Justin. I did want to take this time to talk about the latest happenings here in the state of Oregon. Now, I'm a caregiver here, a medical marijuana caregiver under the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act, and I've been involved in medical marijuana here in the state of Oregon since 2005. And most recently, in 2010, we had a measure on the ballot, Measure 74, which was a ballot measure to legalize dispensaries in the state of Oregon. We don't have dispensaries here, at least legal ones. We don't have a way for patients to access their medicine. Now, our patients do get 24 plants, that's 6 mature and 18 seedlings, and they do get to possess up to 24 ounces of medicine. But the one thing people have always complained about is, where is the access? If you just got diagnosed with cancer today, you don't have time to wait for a crop for 9, 10, 12 weeks. You need access now. You need cannabis now. And unfortunately, Oregon's always been lacking on that point. Now, Oregon activists did place an initiative on the ballot previously, back in 2004, a Measure 33, that gained about 42% of the vote. In 2010, the dispensary initiative gained about 43% of the vote. They were very different initiatives, but to the general public, basically they were saying no to the retail commerce in medical marijuana. And there's all sorts of reasons that people will suppose this is the case. Maybe they're looking at California and they don't like the excesses they see there. Whatever the excuse might be, the fact remains that Oregon does not provide a way for its patients to gain access. Well, this doesn't matter to the activists out there that are trying to help the medical marijuana patients in the state of Oregon. Now, originally, this had started out in Oregon. One of the ways that activists were involved in getting medicine to the patients were patient meetings. This would be a situation where medical marijuana patients gather, they can hear some speakers, they can learn about the law, they can do activism like writing postcards in groups and sending them in to the legislators. And usually at these medical marijuana meetings, excess would be donated to the organization. Then the organization would split up the cannabis and give it out for free to the patients who had attended the meeting. And this is legal because Oregon's Medical Marijuana Act says that any registered cardholder can freely give medicine to any other cardholder for no consideration. It basically means that you can give marijuana to another patient. And this is supposed to alleviate some of the access problems, where if one patient has more than they need, they can give to another patient. And these patient meetings were set up to try to hook these people up, try to set it up so that we could get the excess distributed to the patients in need. But as time has gone on, the patient meeting hasn't been enough for some people, and it's evolved, it's mutated into a new form. Just these past couple of weekends, I've taken the time to go around some of these locations here in the Multnomah and Washington County areas here in Portland. And I did so because I was disturbed by a story that we covered about raids in southern Oregon. Most recently, there's been 5 different locations, 3 in Grants Pass, that were raided, locations like the ones that I'm going to be talking about here in Multnomah and Washington County. So I wanted to see what was going on. So I visited the first one of these places, and I'm not going to name the names of the places. I don't want to give them any more trouble than what's probably coming to them eventually. But one of these places was a membership base where you joined for a year and your money goes into a pool of money, basically an account. And then this account is used to reimburse growers for the cost of producing medicine. And then the people who are members can go to this location and receive their medicine, having it already been accounted for the cost of expenses. That's another thing about the Oregon law, is that you may reimburse a grower for the cost of supplies, utilities, and expenses incurred in producing the medicine. However, not labor, right? So you can reimburse for the cost of pots and the electricity and the water and the soil and the nutrients and all the stuff that you use to create the cannabis, but you cannot be reimbursed for your labor. So this first place I went to, they do it in a kind of a pool scenario where people are contributing their membership money on an annual basis and then receiving medicine on, you know, a walk-in or a monthly basis, based on how much excess has been able to be gathered by that organization. Still kind of a little iffy there as far as the legalities go, because again, we're allowed to reimburse a grower. So if I am joining a group and that group is not a grower, then my money is reimbursing a group. And then a group is reimbursing a grower. And then I'm getting medicine from the group. There's an extra middleman in there, and it leaves me a little bit of concern. Other places weren't nearly as circumspect as that. Others were just right out saying that they were farmers markets, that you could show up at this place, and there will be growers there who will exchange medicine for you. That is, you make a donation of cash, and they make a donation of medicine, but it's not buying. It's not a dispensary. It's not purchasing. You're making a donation as a patient to a grower completely out of the goodness of your heart. And the grower is making a donation of medicine to you as the patient completely out of the goodness of their heart. Except for the fact that there's a chalkboard that has written on it 1 ounce, half ounce, quarter ounce, eighth of an ounce, and suggested donation prices alongside that. I'm sorry. Not prices, suggested donations alongside that. This is happening in, you know, like I said, I visited 6 of these over the last 2 weekends, and each one were very, very careful whenever someone would say the word buy to say, no, 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 we don't sell nothing here. We don't sell anything. We don't sell. No, there's no selling. It's just donations. It's all just donations. Well, this is happening, folks. And something that I mentioned when Measure 74 was on the ballot is that we can vote for dispensaries to be regulated. Or we can vote for dispensaries to exist without regulation because they're going to exist. Oregon now has somewhere on the order of 48,000 registered patients in this program with nowhere to get their medical marijuana. People are beginning to fill that need. 6 different organizations that I was able to visit here within the past 2 weekends. And very, very little of the pretense of not selling, right? Very obvious. One place I went to, they had an open counter where there were these little Petri dishes. And there's about 19 of these Petri dishes, each one with a little sample of bud in it. And you could open the gray paper, you could open the AK-47, and you could open the Jack Harrer, and you could smell it and sniff it. And then up on the board there, there's the suggested donation prices, 190 an ounce. And then they broke it down, half ounce, quarter ounce, eighth of an ounce, and so on. Not that I'm complaining. $190 an ounce. I know people all over this country that would kill to get $190 an ounce of quality medical marijuana. And certainly the quality in the state of Oregon is nothing to sneeze at. But what's happening here is these people are continuing to push the lines of medical marijuana. They're continuing to work through these loopholes of saying you can reimburse a grower for expenses. And yet somehow the marijuana all ends up being the same price from all the different growers, right? We got some growers with hydropower, some growers with natural gas, some growers with all these other different methods of growing. Some are growing hydro, some are growing in soil, some are growing indoors, some are growing outdoors, some have 600 watt lights, some have 1,000 watt lights. And yet, miraculously, everybody's utility cost turns out the same. Everybody's reimbursement cost turns out exactly the same. What a miracle that all these disparate variables involved would end up giving you the same result at the end. Isn't that amazing? Again, not complaining about this. I want patients to get access. I want people to be able to buy and sell cannabis, even to healthy people, with no limits. However, when we made these medical marijuana laws, we entered into an agreement with the people. We entered into an understanding that marijuana was still illegal, but these medical patients were going to be able to use it out of compassion. And this leads me to another thing that was really disturbing on going to one of these places. First of all, some of the places are named, and again, I'm not going to give you the names, but they're named in such a way that they're trying to be medical. You know, like they might call themselves the Medical Cannabis Collective, right? Okay, so now you're trying to sound medical, right? Medical Cannabis Collective, sounds great. But then there's other places that might be called something like, the Bong Hitters Club. That's not what one of them's called, but there's a name that's similar to that, that's on that same, like, level of recreational use, that same cultural affect to it, right? So when you got a name like that, you got a name that just blatantly screams out recreational use, it's getting harder and harder to tell the people it's raining when we're peeing on their leg. You know what I'm saying? And when I went to this place, this Bong Hitters Club, again, that's not the real name, but it'll do. When I went to this Bong Hitters Club, they made a point of saying, we've actually got 2 head trauma patients here today. We've got 2 head trauma patients. And I go and we go and speak to them. And certainly there's one guy that had a severe aneurysm. Another guy, I forget, it was a tumor of some sort. Definitely, certainly patients. But the way that they were pointing them out it kind of made me feel a little sleazy. It made it feel like, well, no, we're really medical. Look, we're really medical. Look at them. Yeah, you know, don't look at these people over here smoking weed. Look at those medical patients. They're really medical. They got head traumas. The loopholes and all of this exceptions and wink and nudge and air quotes that we have to use. Maybe I'm getting jaded, folks, but I'm getting a little tired of it. I'm reminded of Chris Rock when he says with his routine on rap music, I love rap music, but I'm tired of defending it. I love medical marijuana, but it's getting increasingly more difficult for me to defend it with a straight face when I go into these places that are just little more than marijuana bars. And again, I don't have a problem with a marijuana bar. I don't have a problem with patients getting access. But the way that we framed this, the place that we're in right now with the laws and the public sentiment right now, and we're looking at possible repeal of medical marijuana in Montana. We're looking at the latest medical marijuana laws in D.C., New Jersey, and Arizona being unduly restrictive and not allowing people to grow their own. There's a reason why these things are happening. And this is the backlash against medical marijuana that I warned everybody about. We've seen what Jason Crist did up in Montana, going about trying to make a buck, trying to push the limits of the law, trying to interpret every loophole in a way to benefit himself, to get more people cards. We've seen what that's done. It's led to the imminent repeal of medical marijuana in Montana. Do we really want to see a similar situation happen in Oregon? We've already got numbers of bills in the legislature right now. They're doing things like reducing the plant limits from 24 to 4, reducing the possession limits from 24 ounces to 1 ounce, having a board of physicians to have to verify chronic pain conditions, requiring that the doctor who sees you be a bona fide primary care physician and not just some clinic doctor. These restrictions are coming on medical marijuana, and it's because the people have felt like they've been bamboozled. They've been hoodwinked on this. Just like the legislator in Montana said, they feel like they've been conned in this situation. They thought they were voting for medical marijuana, not to have marijuana clubs all over the place. This is the box canyon of medical marijuana we have long warned about. That once we keep defining marijuana as medical and only medical, anybody using it in something that looks like recreational and calling it medical is going to make it look bad. And meanwhile, the pharmaceutical companies are working on replacing the medical marijuana with cannabis extracts, things that work just as good as the marijuana without the pesky high or the ability of you to grow it for yourself. This is the direction things are happening here. And every activist out there who keeps pushing the limits, who keeps, you know, testing the lawmakers to see how much they can get away with, you're going to find these lawmakers aren't going to be very happy about it. They're going to slap you down and they're going to make more restrictive laws for everybody, even the people who are following the medical marijuana laws to the letter. This is why I believe in 2012, it is crucially important for us to pass marijuana legalization, not just medical, cannabis legalization for all adults, 21 and older, 18 and older, whatever you want to set the age at. Some state's going to have to break through and legalize, because we're at a turning point now. We're at a turning point where the opponents of marijuana, the opponents of legalization for everyone, are able to say, see, we legalized it just for the sick people, and look at all the terrible things that happened. Why would we ever want to legalize it for everyone? We've got to legalize it for everyone in one state so that we at least have one example to look at, one example to point at and say, see, when you legalize for everybody, all the problems with medical marijuana go away. All the problems with medical marijuana come from law enforcement trying to separate us into criminals versus patients, when really we're all just cannabis consumers. It's the same cannabis and we're the same human beings. The reason we may be using the cannabis, whether it be for medical purposes, for a severe physical or mental ailment, or whether it just be for general wellness to keep our stress level low, it doesn't matter. And by continually trying to separate us into patients versus criminals, this is where the loopholes happen. This is where the exceptions happen. This is where people try to push the limits, trying to push that line of medical closer to criminal, or trying to erase criminal by pushing medical. We cannot do it. We have got to just make it legal for everyone before people can see how medical marijuana is affected by prohibition. Right now, people can't separate the effects of prohibition from the effects of marijuana. And they think all the bad stuff that's happening around medical marijuana is happening because it's marijuana, not because it's prohibited for healthy people. It's time in 2012 to legalize in at least one state. I'm looking at Washington, Oregon, California, Colorado, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont. All of these states have something going either in their legislature or in their initiative systems to provide a legalization of marijuana for all people. So as we look at Oregon and these pseudo dispensaries popping up, as we look at Montana and the abuses in examinations through Skype and pre-filled out forms, remember, every abuse of medical marijuana takes us one step away from legalizing for everyone. Be on your best behavior and treat these medical marijuana laws with some respect. All right, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here for an interesting hour one here at our normal show live. Hour two, Toker Talk Radio is coming up next. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. For Cannabis Carry and the ill Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.